T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome to Overnight America. Oh, man. I think I made a mistake today. Made a major mistake. The Girl Scout cookies were delivered here at work. I ate a whole box of the Samoas. Ugh. Right before the show, I just couldn't stop eating them one after another. The box was there. It was open. There's 14 cookies in a box. I don't know why 14. They should have done 15, but they did 14 cookies per box. And I just, there goes down one. There goes another one. So I put down about 9 or 10, and I stopped. And then right before airtime, I said, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. Finish the box. I mean, I am feeling like, I've looked on the side. It's like over 1,000 calories for those things. And who else knows? So it might be a sleepy night. I feel even the effects of coffee can't undo what I just jammed in my throat. Ugh. So if you're also like me and have been shoving Girl Scout cookies down your throat, welcome to Overnight America. This is for you tonight. I read this, and it doesn't help me feel any better. Just 30 minutes of exercise every morning may be as effective as drugs at lowering blood pressure. You know what is also very effective? Not eating an entire box of Girl Scout cookies. The study found a short burst of exercise, walking on a treadmill at moderate intensity, had long-lasting effects, and there were further benefits from extra 3-minute walks later in the day. Experts examined data for overweight and obese men, women aged 55 to 80 at the start of their study. This is according to Evening Express, the source on this one. They did a write-up on the 30 minutes of morning exercise. So the 35 women and 32 men who took part in different daily plans in random order, with at least 6 days between each one, the results published in the Hypertension, the journal is called Hypertension. That sounds like a very intense journal. I don't know why they'd name it like that. You want to name it something less threatening. Well, what do you got your subscription to? Oh, hypertension. Whoa, that sounds stressful. It's from the American Heart Association. Found that blood pressure, especially, systolic blood pressure, was lower in men and women who took part in exercise plans compared to those who didn't. I want to know if there's any of the people a part of the study that decided to eat an entire box of Girl Scout cookies. That was a mistake. And you know what? You want to know how sad things are? I have to start exercising. But 2 days ago, I tried to do that 40 push-up challenge that they did a report on. They said if you are middle-aged and can do 40 push-ups, you have about 96% less chance of getting heart disease or heart disease-related complications or whatever it was. So I tried to do 40 push-ups. I got up to 32. I did 20 really, really good ones. Like, you would look at it and you'd say, that's military grade, 20 push-ups. And then from like 20 to 30, you know, the booties started folding up a little. You know, they weren't as great of push-ups. And then from 30 to 32, basically that was just me trying to see how many other ones I can tack on before I completely collapsed. Man, if I were to try to do I'm still sore from that 2 days ago. It's not so much my arms, but it's like my pecs, my armpits and pecs area. What are you giving me that look for? Producer Mike's looking at me, mocking me, as if you can knock out 40 push-ups right now if you tried. Yeah, right. I don't think you could. Are you serious? There's no way you could do 40 push-ups right now. How confident are you? Very double thumbs up confident. You want to try? That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Not going to try. See, you're confident until it comes time to actually try, and then the confidence out the window. Gone.
I just had 3 Thin Mints. I can't
do push-ups now. 3 Thin Mints. I had 3 burritos right before doing the push-ups. 2 for dinner, 1 for a snack. My wife made tacos. I made them into burritos. I'm talking about refried beans, sour cream, lettuce, cheese, taco meat.
Yeah, that's lots of good carbo loading and protein.
Yeah.
But there's nothing good like that in Thin Mints.
Well, I shoved those things down, and I was able to do 32 after that. Whew, look at this. And I didn't do them like on my fingertips or anything. I know. There's no way. Didn't we try this before, or you never tried the challenge before? Yeah. One person called in and said, maybe you should do a push-up club. Something where you could challenge other people to log how many push-ups they can do, and we can do it together every night. We'll try to see how many we can do together. Some different hosts will do, like, reading clubs. Oh, we'll read a book, and we'll discuss the book at the end of the month, like a book club. And some hosts will do, let's do weight club. We'll try to lose some weight. For us, it's see how many push-ups we can do. How about that? What if I do them like this? Is it politically incorrect to say girl push-ups anymore? That's the one where, like, I remember in school where the girls had the advantage. They can do the push-ups, but their knees were down. You never had that at your school? They called them girl push-ups. You never heard of that before? That's what they did when I was growing up. See, I don't know if things like that are politically incorrect anymore. Are you serious? There was no difference when you were growing up in gym class?
I don't remember that. Why even waste your time doing that? Like, that's nothing,
It was trying to...
It's just like standing.
No.
That's just like laying on the ground.
No, it's like you're basically kneeling, but so basically instead of doing a full push-up where your arms are down and your back straight and your legs are out behind you, it's the same thing except your knees are on the ground.
Right, all your weight is supported by your knees, so...
Not all of it, a lot of it is. Yeah, and that's what they called... You never did it like that in school?
No. I've never heard it called that, and I've never heard of those in general.
Really? Wow. Maybe it's just a regional thing. Hey, that's how they do it up in Michigan. But I thought to myself, I gotta get to 40, and I was trying so hard to get to 40, and I was doing everything I could. And I thought, maybe if I switch to knuckles, that'll help. That didn't really help. I kept it to the hands. Knuckles are a little bit harder, but it does, look cooler when you're doing knuckles. You look at those people that can crank out 100 push-ups. That's crazy to me. So just so you know, if you do a little exercise in the morning, that'll help with your high blood pressure, according to this study. But you know what? The way they make it sound, there's only like 70 people that participated in this. That's a super low study. That doesn't really mean much of anything. You see Better Together put out some new numbers. I want to talk about that next. The Better Together plan. They say they'll save the region $5 billion. Are you buying it? This is Overnight America, KMOX.
St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1120, KMOX. Depend on it.
I got to ask, are you buying what they're saying, the Better Together organization? They say the merger will save the region $5 billion in its first 10 years. I tried to go through some of the numbers and I was looking at the press release. They have some analytics of why they believe this to be true. You know, I can't say I'm fully convinced, but I really don't know what to look for. So it's a lot of spreadsheets. It's a lot of finances. You know, they're doing certain calculations. They try to show if things were status quo, if everything were to stay exactly the same, here's what we'd be looking at. They don't vary too much. They kind of just base the number off of what is a solid one number, and if it fluctuates a little bit, if it goes down or up, that of course will affect the numbers too. But they put a press release out. The nonprofit behind an effort to merge the city of St. Louis with the St. Louis County says the consolidation will save the region's taxpayers nearly $5 billion in its first 10 years, but some local leaders are questioning the numbers. This is where I'm asking you. Do you buy it? Do you buy that they'll have this much of a savings? Are you eating this up and saying, yep, I totally believe that we're going to magically find $5 billion out of nowhere? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Says the consolidation plan revealed in January calls for changing the Missouri Constitution by creating a new class of local government. Leaders of several St. Louis County municipal governments oppose the plan. It says Municipal League of Metro St. Louis Executive Director Pat Kelly says the financial analysis fails to offer specific details about the savings. And that's what I had a hard time finding, too. So when you look at, like, for example, here's one document called Better Together Policy Recommendation Analysis of New State Tax Revenue. And that's an interesting thing, too. They're talking about getting more state tax revenue. which is interesting because the way they make it sound like is they're trying to cut taxes, but they're getting more state tax. I'd like to learn a little bit more about that. And by just by thumbing through the different numbers they have here, I'm wondering how they come up with some of those. I would like to have this explained to me, not from someone better together. I'd like to get someone on that has a little bit more knowledge of looking at these sort of finances and could give a idea if these are legit numbers or not. You know, one of the fascinating things about this too, and I didn't, of all that I've read about this topic, when they put together their St. Louis Metro City budget from 2018, so this is when they must have done, you know, I'm looking at the savings page, the very first savings page. There's something in here that sparked my interest. It says 3% mandatory appropriation to emergency fund of St. Louis Metro City. That was the first time I saw that. Maybe I completely missed it before. Do you remember hearing anything about a mandatory appropriation to an emergency fund? It's not a bad idea, but this is where the biggest concern comes from. How much of this money, and it doesn't have to be the emergency fund, how much of this money is at the discretion of Steve Stanger if he were to be elected as this Metro mayor? So let's say they go through with the plan. He becomes the interim mayor. How much money is at his disposal that he doesn't need approval for? And like, let's say this emergency fund is one of those things. If you're talking, you know, $7 billion or whatever, 3% is a lot of money. And with some of the ethics questions on a Steve Stanger, how do we know that money's not going to be used for crony capitalism, right? We're just going to pay off some certain people, or we're going to look for some sweetheart deals, or we're going to do, we'll select you. We'll move into your place. We'll get your service. It'd be nice if you kind of helped me with the reelection campaign money, me and my people. Are we going to see some of that? So how much of this money actually doesn't have to go through a board? How much of this money doesn't have to be approved? I don't know if that question has been answered either. I think that there's so much money that doesn't have an explanation around it and how it could be spent, why it could be spent. You're trying to get the freeholders completely taken off the board. So I think you're trying to circumvent a system where there's actually accountability and there's public accountability. I'm not buying it. See, that $5 billion number, I would like to see that explained in a way where I can believe it, because right now I don't. 314-436-7900. Let me get to Greg real quick. Hey, Greg, what's going on?
Good evening, Mr. Wrecker.
What's up?
I'm calling from the campaign office of the Patriotic Political Pontificating Pundit, who is running for the Board of Freeholders.
All right. So what do you think about this? Are you buying $5 billion savings?
No. Have you noticed the conversations, though? And everyone's talking about it, and it's an underlying issue. As people listen, as I listen, it's all what's going towards the city. Oh, by the way, we're going to be saving a little bit in the county, but it's all going towards the city. I have not heard a conversation where the city's putting in anything on this. Hmm. Have you noticed that? They're all talking about the county, and the county's going to be saving. They don't talk about the city saving anything. Do you know what I'm saying? It's all about where the county's going to be saving it. Don't worry, people. It's going to go into a pot, and we're all going to split it up. Hmm. I have a suggestion. Hey, Mr. Stanger, I'm waiting for your phone call. Why don't Better Together give me their information? You put me on the Board of Freeholders. I'll take a look at it. So will the other board members. And we will talk to the city and the county, and then we will have an area-wide vote. Why is everyone so scared about us voting? 1924, if you remember, St. Louis was stronger than the county.
Hmm.
All right? Now, who's stronger? It's the county. All right? So, but no one talks about that.
Hmm. All right, Greg. You know, when I think about how they're handling this, there was a person in studio with Charlie Brennan from UMSL, yes. Terry Jones. I have a couple of clips I want to play from that. And he talks about how some of these things are happening in secrecy, as in it's behind closed doors. Now, it's different if you had the freeholders. That would be open door. You're not seeing that right now. So what what does that mean they're hiding? I mean, if this is a big public open discussion, which is what they wanted, what are they hiding by doing these things behind doors? So, Greg.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Also in that conversation, bring this up. I was listening to it. It's not going to be a simple majority after this happens.
Say that again. Not a simple majority.
It's going to be two-thirds majority for anything to change.
Is that under the new proposal?
Yes. If let's say it passes.
Yeah.
And if they want to change anything, I remember what he said on a couple issues that they're going to need the city and the county to have a two-thirds approval to change anything.
Okay. I'm going to play part of that interview. Maybe it'll be included there. All right. Hey, thank you, Greg. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, city-county merger. Have you been any more sold on it? Are you not sold on it? And are you buying that this region, according to their new statistics, will save $5 billion? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So here's Terry Jones. This is with Charlie Brennan the other day. I think this is 2 days ago, or was this just yesterday? Maybe it was just yesterday. But it was, so UMSL's Terry Jones.
So we could end up with a very awkward and inappropriate and indeed undemocratic feature of having a statewide vote where the state people outside the city and the county wanted us to have the new kind of government. But we in the city and the county did not want it.
And if we just might take a look around the corner, how will that generally play out if people feel that they have been, that a government has been forced upon them? How do Americans typically react to that?
They don't trust that government. They have little confidence in it, and they don't give it their support.
So part of this press release says that they'll generate savings $4.9 billion over 10 years from 2023 to 2032. They also mention the cost, and this is interesting, the cost of local government for every citizen in St. Louis will decline by more than $200 per year. A family of four will see its burden decline from $1,022. You know, they're not necessarily taxing a family of four the same way as they would tax, so I don't know, let's say two income earners versus maybe a one income earner household with two children, right? So you may say if you were to average out based on the amount of citizens, it doesn't mean that you're going to be, every household's going to be saving in the amount of tax obligation they have, because obviously it's based on the income of that family, so, and the people that are earners in that. So let's keep that in mind, too. So I think that's a little deceptive the way they're putting that together. And it says also, St. Louis is overspending for municipal services by $750 million to $1 billion per year when compared to peer regions. And when they mention the peer region, so we're talking about the Louisvilles and the Nashvilles and all these other places they brought up before, not the ones where this hasn't worked or hasn't gone through, or Indianapolis, is, you know, stuff like that. So they look at that compared to peer regions. That has nothing to do with the actual savings based on what they anticipate of the duplicate services here in St. Louis. So if they were to put this together, I don't know if you can take a Nashville or a Louisville or whatever. Let's just use Louisville. Well, you can't take that and say, we're going to be able to duplicate that exactly. You have to be able to anticipate what this region is going to be able to save on something like that. So if you're basing this dollar amount on what other regions saved, that also is not good math. I mean, you have to take into consideration that this is going to be a unique area that's going to be merging this together. Here's Terry Jones again on Charlie Brennan's show.
Better Together is not a democratically elected group or appointed by people who are democratically elected.
It's self-appointed.
Are their meetings public?
No.
Their deliberations are quite private.
They were.
And their emails and documents and anything they use are not subject to sunshine laws, correct?
No, they are not.
Okay. So, but the Board of Freeholders would be in all those cases.
It's a public body, and therefore it's subject to all of those conditions.
All right. So what do you prefer when it comes to your government? Closed door records in meetings and discussions that you have no access to, or the ability to find out what they talked about, of what they're going to try to impose on you? Or do you prefer something that is transparent, open to the public, and available for your review? Which one do you prefer?
Let's say the Better Together plan passes in November of 2020, but people say, you know what, we don't like the one big police department. How do we go about changing that?
That would be an amendment within the city and the county, or the new metro city, that would require a two-thirds vote.
Okay, so you don't have to go to the statewide vote for that?
No. But you need a two-thirds majority.
What do you need the statewide vote for? To
change features that will be already in here, such as a mayor serving a four-year term, such as elections being held in November rather than, say, April, 33-member legislature rather than a legislature with a smaller number.
All right, so do you hear that? That's pretty important. So I think that's what Greg was talking about before. So part of that is you have the statewide vote, but you can still vote locally on things that you disagree with. So you might be able to get a 2/3 vote locally. And I have a lot of skepticism on this. I do. You know what's interesting, too? Actually, let's take some more of your calls. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I just don't see these numbers adding up. You know what also is fascinating in its own press release here? It says we'll generate $4.9 billion in savings over 10 years, but then they say Pure Regions save anywhere from $750 million to $1 billion a year. Let's say it's on the high end, a billion, just for the sake of it. Move that out by 9 years. So wouldn't that essentially mean we should see a savings closer to $9 billion? So why is our savings only $4.9 according to that? And I don't think those numbers answer themselves. I think there's so many other questions. And I don't like the idea of these things happening behind the scenes, you know. It's like the old Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. That's what this is starting to feel like. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Let's go
Blues! Hey Blues fans, Chris Gerber with you. And on Thursday night, the Blues are on the road for a huge Central Division matchup against the Dallas Stars. The puck drops at 7:30. The pregame show gets you set at 7 o'clock. And you can catch all the action from Dallas right here on your home for St. Louis Blues Hockey, KMOX. Let's go, Blues!
Here we are, Overnight America. Kind of fascinating. The numbers are out. I'm trying to figure out this analysis and the savings. I'm sure Terry Jones at UMSL or someone else might be able to analyze this. I got to get a guest on. But I think that people are always going to be skeptical if you try to force a government on them, and there's the opportunity for the state to force the government on us here in St. Louis. I think the numbers are questionable. I don't know if I'm buying $5 billion in savings over 9 years. I don't like the way they set up the leadership. I don't like that the current leadership here that got us in the fiscal trouble we're in already are going to be the same ones that were going to be the stewards of this newfound money that they believe they're going to find. There's so many problems that I don't think most people are confident that it's going to work the way they say it's going to work. And I think that's going to bring a big no vote for a lot of people. But I don't think people outside of the St. Louis region are going to care. I think people in, you know, other parts of the state are going to look at this and say, you know, it makes sense, so just do it. And you're going to be forcing something that perhaps people here don't want. Let me get to Walt. Hey, Walt, what's going on?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I personally am against the merger because of the fact that right now I was being taxed without being represented by our city officials.
How so?
In many ways, you know, you pay that 1% earnings tax. Mm-hmm. My alderman would not represent me. The police department would not investigate felony crimes that occurred. When my wife was dying, she was threatened and stalked all the way up into the day she died and shortly thereafter. You call the police, they refuse to investigate.
That's terrible.
So what I did, I contacted our then state attorney general.
This is Josh Hawley, or was it before then?
Before him.
Okay.
This has been going on for 7 years.
Wow.
I've got all the documentation, all the threats that we received. I've documented it. Even contacted the FBI to get to help, you know, to get help on this, on these online threats.
Yeah.
They wouldn't investigate it. They were too busy trying to take down a sitting president. Our prosecuting attorney was too busy trying to take down a sitting governor.
Yeah, you're right.
They did not want to do their job.
No, you make a great point.
They did not want to do their job and investigate. And we're talking felony stalking. We're talking felony crimes that are listed as felonies in state statutes 282, 283, and I believe 292. That were being violated on a regular basis. I had suspects' names. The prosecutors didn't want to prosecute. The police didn't want to investigate.
Wow.
So I wound up moving to Illinois where at least they're doing something about the problem.
Wow. Well, it's you bring this up, and it's something we've seen over and over with Kim Gardner and even with Wesley Bell now in the county, that they refuse to take on certain cases because they have some sort of social agenda. And then they also look at things. I'm going to bring this up in the next segment. I had it in my list. There was that I'll get to that. But there's that one case where the daycare fight club, this is just in the news again, where they have video evidence of the crime being committed. They have eyewitnesses, and they still won't prosecute things like that. You know, it's incredibly frustrating, and I 100% believe what you're saying.
Well, I mean, my wife was undergoing dialysis, and she was being threatened and stalked. The police didn't want to do their job. I even proposed legislation to make it a felony crime to harass somebody online, even though there's already laws on the books, but they didn't want to enforce it. I propose solutions.
Yeah.
Even make the online bullies register like sex offenders so that we could put a stop to this crap and then register your computer like we do a car, where that way you have a license to go online, and that way when people get stalked or threatened, they can say, okay, here's the guy who owns the account. All right, here's the guy we can go after. Or if he decides that he's going to recruit people for a terrorist organization, they know who they can go after. Those are solutions that I've come up with. Not one elected official even wanted to look at it.
Hmm. That's frustrating. That's terrible.
Yeah.
None of that changes with the merger. I don't think it will.
I seriously doubt it. And, yeah, you know, it's going to be Democrats running it, and they're going to run it into the ground like they did Detroit. Like they did Chicago.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
They're going to run it even worse.
Thank you, Will. Thanks. Good to hear from you. Bye. All right, he's got some serious gripes here. I mean, part of the gripes that he has is that what's going to change if you still have the same faces in control? What actually changes? So you're telling me the issues and the problems we have right now magically solve themselves because unknown reasons? It's a good point. Rich calling in. Hey, Rich, what's going on?
Hey, I don't see where this merger, and I don't live in St. Louis, is going to save $500 million a year.
Yeah, $5 billion.
Yeah, because, well, let's just, they might save a few bucks instead in the wintertime or in the summer. That's when they get deliveries for St. Louis ordering salt, the county ordering salt. Now, you make one big purchase, you might save a couple of bucks.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're talking, so some of their big reasons for saving money is that they would have some sort of centralized policing, which would help them. So there's not a, you know, 88 separate precincts. So if you were to combine those and have some sort of centralized umbrella over it, it would help with the organization. Same thing with the courts. We got 88 municipalities in the city. So you have a lot of different court systems spread out. That could save some money too. But can you see $500 million coming out of nowhere after something like that? But part of this, too, even if you were to try to put some sort of umbrella organization over it, it doesn't mean that you're cutting back. It means you're actually making it larger, unless you were to cut some of these courts or cut some of these police departments. Because otherwise, you're just adding some sort of government agency over it, which means more government. So, yeah, Rich, these numbers aren't really adding up all that much.
No, I mean, whether it's fine. Shotgun wedding. Well, guess what? The area is still the same size. So you're going to still need the same amount of cops.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need the same amount of cop cars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might save a couple of bucks when instead of St. Louis, the city ordering 20 cop cars, the county ordering 20 cop cars, they order 40. But you know what? Ain't going to save you no half a billion dollars. You might save a couple of thousand bucks per car.
Yeah, let me ask you this, too. In general, when government's flushed with extra cash, do they use it responsibly, normally?
Nobody does. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican.
I know. No one does. Government is terrible at managing their own finances. It's hard to find any place that is on top of it. It really is. But, you know, Rich, by the way, you're in Indiana. That's actually a pretty good state. You actually have pretty good finances as a state, so at least they're doing something right.
Well, Indiana, unfortunately, our roads stink.
Yeah. Yeah, but don't you have $1 billion in the bank or something like that based on just a rainy day fund?
No, that money came from the lease of the Indiana Toll Road, and that money was spent down south.
Oh, I see. All right, good to hear from you, Rich. Thank you for calling in.
Sure.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let me get to Chad, who's calling in. Hey, Chad, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Go ahead.
You know, one of the things that I got a friend that actually lives in Indianapolis, and it really has, I've been up there several times, it really has made the city better, giving them more streamlined and things. One of the things they did propose was, you know, we have over 630 representatives just in the county alone. 630, they would bring that down to like 34.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about each individual municipality with their, you know, councilman
right.
and things like that. Yeah.
All of these 88 different municipalities is just old, antiquated, and it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Now, you take 630 and you move that down to 33, it's going to cut a whole lot of red tape. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that they do, a lot of these municipalities, they have to generate money from bogus ticket writing and all this other stuff that they do. Just how much money you would save just by not having so many aldermen and representatives and mayors stepping over their own feet, trying to gouge the system for all types of money. That's why the governor had to step in and tell these municipalities you can only take 30% of what you use and have to send the rest of it up to the state because they're so poorly ran.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, you want to be able to streamline a whole lot of other things. And then it's not just 20 cop cars or anything like that. It's much more complicated than that. Like the city owns the airport mm-hmm. on county property, and they're trying to privatize that. And they say this, if they privatize it, it's going to save the city so many hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Just because now you don't have employees where you have to pay pensions and insurance and all that other type of stuff. When you mm-hmm. privatize it, that takes a lot of the burden off you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that's going into that a lot of people have not studied. I've been studying the issue. And let's face it, St. Louis is under 300,000. What makes it non-attractive is that St. Louis stays in the top five when it comes to all the negative crime rates, living, and all this other stuff, and you bring 1,300,000. Now we're in the top 10 of national cities, and all that crime and all that negative stigma is going to go away. And you may be able to attract more business.
Well, how do you look at the Municipal League of Metro St. Louis when they come out and they say, "Yeah, we can look at the spreadsheets, we can look at what they're anticipating revenue to be, and here, we can look at the numbers, but it doesn't give any specific details about how the money is actually going to be saved or raised or why is this going to be a good idea. And plus, you have this independent organization, Better Together, that could do everything behind closed doors and doesn't really have an obligation to release this information other than public pressure coming on them. So you can say that, yeah, you can look at these things, but what are we going to look at? The answers, they're not there.
Well, I think for one thing I would do, they're going to have a 2-year study of this. I will most definitely get an independent auditing firm and also look at some models of successful mergers that's already been happening. You know, I was in New York. You know, Brooklyn, I did one of those tours, and Brooklyn actually brought up St. Louis. You know, St. Louis is one of the biggest cities in America back and when we had the World Fair. And what happened was New York was losing a lot of its power, actually, to St. Louis. And what they did was they merged New York City with Brooklyn. And nobody really paid attention to that. But it kept New York City viable while St. Louis is, you know, kind of – we've been floundering, man.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start streamlining and get with what's going on with a lot of these other areas and keep up with – progress. And
okay.
The bottom line is, well, we have a system that's old and antiquated. We need to consolidate the police department. If you eliminate, let me say this in closing, we eliminate 630 politicians, that's going to cut so much red tape, man. We duplicating things over and over again. That costs us money right there with all these different municipalities.
I don't think these individual councilmen just disappear. I don't think that happens under the plan, does it? I thought they would stay in place.
Oh, no. They're going to get down. They're going to go from six. That's why all these mayors are hollering because they're going to go down from, and they're going to take away their power. They won't have control over the police department. They'll have power over the parks and the municipalities and things like that, but they will not have control over the police department, which I think is good. Some of these elected officials, man, they have no background of being able to control a police department. They have no real estate background. You look at some of these municipalities, they have all these vacant houses, and they don't know they don't know how to get rid of red tape, man.
So you're saying that the St. Louis police have no criticisms?
they do have criticism, but to me, you really need to have experts in certain areas. And like I say, that's one of the things why Metrolink is not a viable like other ones, because there were no studies going on. So when they enacted these things, you look at what, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just go to different municipalities that have been successful with these mergers.
Okay.
I mean,
well, Chad, we got to go, but it makes sense. Right. Hey, good to hear from you. Thanks.
All right.
Okay. I thought the councilman stay. Maybe I have to double check that. We'll take some more of your calls coming up. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX.
Making the darkness of night a little brighter. It's Ryan Recker and Overnight America on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Okay. So Better Together is putting out now some more details on how much money their plan will save. They say close to $5 billion, close to $5 billion over 9 years. I'm not buying it. Are you? Let me get to Daryl. What's going on, Daryl?
What's up, Brian? Thanks for talking to me tonight.
Sure.
I guess I should preface by saying I am on board for a city-county merger, but I am not on board for this form of it. The way this looks is too big of an ask. It seems to me, while something like this might be good for the distant future, we're in St. Louis. We're in the Midwest. We do things a little more slowly and deliberately here. I don't think it's too much to say, or too little, I should say, to ask, let's do baby steps first. Maybe St. Louis County gets a percentage of the earnings tax, and in exchange, maybe the county takes on some of the burden of, like one of the things you mentioned before, was salting the streets, or some trash, or something like that. Something like that, something where you can graduate to something that's bigger than like what they're asking right now.
I got to double check that. I'm still trying to find that for sure. If someone knows that for sure, if you remember that in the proposal, like I have the proposal here, and I don't think that it necessarily cuts down on the size of government, mostly because these cities are still going to be collecting taxes. Like whatever city you live in, if it's in the county, it's not like your city ceases to exist. So you're still going to be collecting taxes. The idea is you still have the debts of your city. You still are collecting and you're still spending as that city. So if what are you going to have, a metro mayor that's going to control 88 different municipalities as opposed to individual mayors for each one? I don't think it works that way.
I would very much like to see it, and I say this as a proud for I'm making up a term right now, a proud Baldwinian.
Baldwinian.
I would still like to see. Yeah, I don't know. I'm Baldwinite. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would like to see some consolidation where that's concerned, because I do think small government the way we have it set up is kind of obsolete now. Yeah. I don't think it's necessary. On a side note, if I may, and if you're running short, feel free to shut me up.
Yeah, real quick. Got a minute.
All right. We know that the state has to vote on this. I'm sure everyone else in the state feels the same way we do. I don't think people in Jefferson City would want us voting on something they do or something Kansas City does or whatever. So maybe a preliminary is not the right word, but our own vote here that obviously would be non-binding, but a vote that says, okay, Missouri, here's how we here in St. Louis feel about it. can you heed our suggestion?
Yeah.
And if it's like 60-40 or 70-30, then the rest of Missouri might go, okay, St. Louis really does want to do this, or they really don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I think that's a safe way to go.
Yeah, I also think that if, let's say, this does pass and there's a lot of people here in the region that want to reject something like this, and let's say locally it doesn't go through, but on a statewide there's enough votes to get it through. Like, you just heard, I played some clips from Terry Jones. He mentioned that essentially we could take our own local vote to remove something off of what was the state vote. So if it's a two-thirds and there's a lot of people that are upset with certain parts of this plan, we could still vote locally and change this plan. It wouldn't be set in stone. You need two-thirds votes locally to do that if you don't like the way the policing works or whatever it is. So there are ways out of
it. The way it is in its current form right now is just way too much of an ask.
Okay,
I think we do it gradually, and let's take away some big pieces of it. All Thanks right. for taking my call, Ryan. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Daryl. Anytime. All right. Coming up, you know, I want to mention this just real quick because I'm looking through the original plan. So essentially, 33-member Metro Council. So this, I was under the impression that the city councils and the individual cities would still be able to have their local governance, but the blanket over the area, the metro city, would have its own special council and its own special mayor. So you see, I don't think it actually eliminates those positions.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.